This is Stateside. I'm April Mayer. The past 36 hours have been moving awfully fast. We'd like to take a moment to reflect on some of the counties that made the difference in marquee contests for the election. Michigan Radio's Dustin Dwyer joins us now from Grand Rapids. And Bryce Huffman is here, a former Michigan Radio reporter. He now works at Bridge Detroit, the nonprofit news source in the city. Dustin, Bryce, thank you for getting the band back together.
Hey, thanks for getting us together.
Thanks for having us here.
Let's start off with the West Side. Dustin, will you remind us how Kent County has voted in the past?
You know, there was a lot of talk this year about Kent County as a swing county. So it's a county that went for Donald Trump in 2016, but then went for Gretchen Whitmer in 2018. And the big question this year was which way would it go? And it turned out that the Biden won Kent County by quite a lot, by a margin of about 20,000 votes.
We should say a word about how we got those results. There was a bit of a reporting delay, wasn't there? What was that all about?
It was really about the absentee votes in the city of Grand Rapids. It just took a long time to count them. It was more than 59,000 ballots. And there was no necessarily problem. It just took a long time to go over them. And one thing that took a lot of time was that there were challengers. There was a Democratic challenger and a Republican challenger. And any ballot that had any irregularity whatsoever, it had to be looked at. So there were a lot of ballots that just got, you know, people spent a lot of time on those specific ballots.
Speaking of ballot challengers, Bryce Huffman, you've had quite a couple of days. First of all, could you tell us a little bit about what the mood in the city of Detroit has been like this week?
That's a big question. I think a lot of people are seeing kind of the high number of absentee ballots that were requested and were received. And they're hopeful because they see that this means that there is a pretty high voter turnout, you know, relatively speaking. But there were some who were protesting against counting all of these ballots yesterday. Specifically, more conservative poll challengers and watchers and people who came to kind of support their conservative poll watching friends.
Yeah. Did you get any sense of whether those folks were City of Detroit residents?
Most of them that I talked to were not. Some of them maybe were born here or grew up here. But a lot of them had kind of more loose connections to the city. One woman I spoke to owned a little bit of property here. A couple of people say that they have friends who live here. But no, most of the people on the conservative side anyway, who were trying to stop the vote count, most of them were not Detroiters.
At the end of the day, this election for Michigan, like so many others, was deeply influenced by Detroit's votes. Bryce, can you help me out as the newcomer? How strong was Detroit's support for Joe Biden?
Well, when I look at the election results, and they're not completely finalized yet, still unofficial, but Detroit overwhelmingly supported Joe Biden. If you actually look at the results on the election website for Detroit, he got about 233,000 votes in Detroit, while Donald Trump and Mike Pence got a little over 12,000.
Dustin, just to go back to you, were you surprised that Joe Biden took Kent County? Like you said, this is a county that went for Donald Trump in 2016 and then went for Gretchen Whitmer, a Democrat, in 2018. So there's some back and forth. If you're looking at it in a broader political context, do you think the vote for Biden is characteristic to Kent County?
I wasn't surprised by it for a couple of reasons. One is we had that result in 2018 where Democrats did really well. The second is that there were just a lot of new voters, and this was true statewide, that a lot of people had registered to vote since the last time, and particularly in the city of Grand Rapids, those voters trend Democratic. The margins aren't quite as large as in the city of Detroit, but the city of Grand Rapids went 3-1 for Biden over Trump. So I knew that with a lot of new voters in the city of Grand Rapids, those would really tend toward the Democrats. But also you saw, I mean, Donald Trump, technically, he did win Kent County in 2016, but he underperformed previous Republicans by quite a lot. I mean, he didn't get as many votes in Kent County in 2016 as, for example, Mitt Romney did in 2012. So it was clear that Donald Trump was not a particularly popular Republican in this county. It wasn't a real Kent County Republican. So when we saw Biden come up and we saw all these other sort of demographic things, these new voters, I didn't really expect that Trump would win the county. I didn't quite expect that the margin would be that big, though, that Biden would win the county by 20,000 votes.
I want to talk to you about one of the other down ballot races with another Republican who did very well. But first of all, speaking of the down ballot, Bryce, let's talk about the U.S. Senate race. It seemed close for Democrat incumbent Gary Peters and Republican John James before the final votes from Metro Detroit came in. John James did not benefit. It sure looks like people who voted for Joe Biden also appeared to have voted for Gary Peters. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, that is pretty right. But John James actually did get more votes in Detroit than Donald Trump and Mike Pence. So to me, at least, it would appear that there were some people who voted for John James, but still ended up voting for Joe Biden in the presidential race.
You know, I think John James is the first black man to run for Senate on either Republican or the Democratic ticket in Michigan. Why do you think that he didn't connect with Detroit voters?
John James, he really doesn't come off as a Detroiter to a lot of people from the city. His support of more conservative candidates and certainly his support of Donald Trump, it rubs Detroiters the wrong way. You have to remember, Donald Trump, someone who overwhelmingly lost the city of Detroit, clearly his policies, his attitude towards politics, it doesn't resonate with people here. It doesn't resonate with longtime Detroiters. So if you're someone running for Senate, based on your allegiance to a man who many Detroiters don't like, it's not surprising to me that a lot of Detroiters won't support you.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there were theories abounding all throughout the campaign about what, you know, what John James might have represented to today's Michigan Republican Party anyway. Was this someone who truly might attract more conservative black voters or somebody who might be seen as a vote of permission for some white voters who maybe wanted to feel like their party was more engaged in the black community, whether or not that was true.
Yeah, that's certainly something that I heard people talking about yesterday. I interviewed several people outside at the protest, and one of them who didn't want to go on record was talking about how they think that this election is a sign of racism in the Democratic Party by screwing John James out of a Senate seat. And whether or not that's true, there are people who believe that.
Dustin, let's go a little further down the ticket and talk about Peter Meyer. He won his congressional race in the 3rd District, despite Democrats pouring some serious cash into it. Tell us a little bit about the election results in the 3rd for West Michigan. I mean, it's kind of interesting that we get this reasonably big vote for Joe Biden and then a vote for Peter Meyer. Can you break down what you think happened?
The 3rd Congressional District does include Kent County, which we've been talking about. And in Kent County, Peter Meyer didn't win. Hillary Scolton won the most votes. But the 3rd District includes many other counties. And in those counties, Peter Meyer ran up the score essentially enough to win the race. One interesting thing that I thought is that Calhoun County is one county in the 3rd District. Peter Meyer did win that county. But when you look at the vote totals for Trump and Biden and the vote totals for Hillary Scolton and Peter Meyer, Hillary Scolton actually outperformed the Biden campaign in Calhoun County, which suggests to me that there were people who voted for Donald Trump who also voted for Hillary Scolton for the Democrat for Congress. So there may still be some Trump Democrats in Calhoun County here in 2020. That was an interesting result that I saw.
It sounds like that kind of sets us up to see what happens in elections to come and which way those voters might go. I hate to say it, but in 2022.
Yep.
Dustin, there was a New York Times article from about a year ago that focused on Kent County as this example of changing demographics of suburbs. Would you say that outside of the Meyer-Scolton race, there was much of a breakdown in the city of Grand Rapids versus the surrounding suburbs?
Definitely. We saw, compared to 2016, Trump was losing margin in a lot of suburbs in Kent County. You saw Joe Biden actually flip the town of Rockford, which is in the suburbs of Grand Rapids. So throughout the suburbs in Kent County, you saw that Biden did better than Clinton in 2016, and you saw Trump was gaining votes, but because overall there were just more voters everywhere, but he was losing on the margin. So you do see definitely in the suburbs of Kent County, but also really in the city, a lot more voters just leaning toward Democrats.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking today with Dustin Dwyer, West Michigan reporter for Michigan Radio, and with Bryce Huffman. He's a reporter at Bridge Detroit, and they were both out and active covering the elections this week. Guys, there's something I wanted to ask both of you. There were many allegations flying around, not the least of them in Donald J. Trump's Twitter account, claiming misconduct in the election in Michigan. What did you see? Did you know we have the situation in Grand Rapids where results came in, you know, after taking some time to count, and we saw this influx of Trump supporters coming to the TCF Center in Detroit. Did either of you see any concrete evidence of misconduct?
I didn't see any concrete evidence of misconduct, but I did see a lot of people who were just very unfamiliar with Detroit's process and things that people who had worked Detroit elections before didn't find alarming. They found alarming because they were new to this system.
Bryce, could you give us an example?
Yes. So Detroit, being the largest municipality in the state, their counting process, it's massive, right? There are so many more voters here than there are anywhere else in the state that there were just so many more people and so many more moving parts that some of the election or the poll challengers who weren't from this area of the state were just confused by the sheer size of the operation going on. And that's something that some of the poll workers commented to me. You can tell some of these poll challengers are just brand new to Detroit.
What I saw in Grand Rapids, if I may, is that the Kent County GOP, they had challengers in the room as absentee ballots were being counted in Grand Rapids, but the Kent GOP had trained those challengers. Those challengers were prepared before Election Day to do that job, and it was a less acrimonious process. I mean, ballots got challenged, but people were getting along. We kept hearing from everyone in the room that it was a really sort of friendly process, even though the sides may have been disagreeing, it really didn't boil over into any concerns. What happened in Detroit was kind of different because a lot of people showed up on Election Day, halfway through Election Day, who hadn't been trained, who seemed, as Bryce said, totally new to the process.
Bryce, the fact that there were so many people coming to the TCF Center, not just who may not live in the city of Detroit, but who were white people coming to this majority black city to challenge votes and literally chanting "Stop the count." That's problematic, isn't it?
You know, it was quite the visual because inside the TCF Center, I had noticed on Election Day how weird it looked to see mostly black Detroiters sitting at the table as poll workers doing their thing, only to see about 6 feet away a couple of middle-aged white women who looked like they had never been to Detroit criticizing the work that they're seeing these people do. So outside, to see basically the same thing, but amplified, was really interesting for me as a young black Detroiter who has been critical of our election process before and has been critical of City Clerk Janice Winfrey, but never would I ever dream of trying to stop the votes from happening.
There was a point at which the overflow of challengers, unofficial challengers, were trying to enter the work area. Did it feel at any point as though they would get in and stop the count?
No. To me, what I thought might happen was eventually, if the people who had been inside had calmed down and left, maybe they would start to let a couple people in who seemed to be calm. But there never was a moment where I thought the entire group of protesters would be able to storm the TCF Center and stop the count. I just never thought that was possible.
I wanted to ask both of you how unique you think this election is. This has been such a year between the pandemic and the economic slowdown that's happened subsequently and the massive protests around Black Lives Matter that have been in the streets in Detroit and also in Grand Rapids. And yet, it's funny, the presidential results don't seem to reflect a massive shift in public opinion when we consider the political histories of both these areas. What do you think? Dustin, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I think in Kent County, certainly in the city of Grand Rapids, these shifts have been happening all along. And I know Bryce has seen that. Bryce used to live here in Grand Rapids. And we saw massive demonstrations in the past several years around immigrant rights. We saw a lot more protesting in Grand Rapids long before the death of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor this year. that community was growing. Those organizers were getting more people engaged and involved. So to say that there would have been a massive shift at the ballot box, I mean, I don't think it would have been all of a sudden, because the work hasn't been all of a sudden. These people have been, you know, people have been working on that for years. And this campaign to get more people to the polls has been going on for years. And we saw these sort of results build from 2016 to 2018 to 2020.
Bryce, what about you? Do you think this is a unique year either in Detroit's life or in the life of West Michigan?
I certainly think there are some unique things about this election. One thing that we have to go back to is in 2018, when Proposal 3 passed, it made it easier for people to vote. It made it easier for people to register and vote the same day. It made it easier for people to vote absentee without needing to have some specific reason for voting absentee. So I think the idea that turnout was higher this year, people had been working for that. They'd been working for that for years to happen. But what really made this unique, to me anyway, was that we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Back in March and April, Detroit was one of the hardest hit cities in America, and potentially even one of the hardest hit cities in the world. But because of that pandemic and because of the coronavirus, this election was already going to be different. People were already trying to do more absentee and mail-in ballots. And I think that those ballots coming in late is really what made the difference in this election.
Just one more question. One of the other unique things about this year is that more people in Michigan cast a ballot for Joe Biden than have voted for any other candidate in the history of Michigan. Dustin, is that... was that a surprise to you, having covered a number of elections?
Well, in a certain sense, the population, you know, has grown, certainly out here in West Michigan. And, you know, every election, you hope that more people get engaged, that generally there are more people. So it's a record that I hope we set every election. But, yeah, I guess that is surprising that he would win by those margins. I think a lot of people saw Michigan as being a really close race. I mean, if the results that we're looking at now hold, it wasn't really that close of a race.
That's a great point to end it on. But Bryce, do you have thoughts on this?
I wish I could offer some thoughts that are better worded than what Dustin said.
I don't want to put you on the spot.
That situation's never happened. I'm keeping this recording. Sending it to my mom. Bryce said I said it well. Look, Mom.
He's arrived.
I think it's a little surprising when you view it just as that fact. But when you put it into the context of everything that's happened since the 2016 election, I think it makes a lot more sense that there was such strong support for Biden.
Bryce Huffman of Bridge Detroit and Michigan Radio's own Dustin Dwyer. Guys, thank you so much. Get some rest this week.
Thank you.
I'll try.
Take care, Bryce. Take care, April.